while we're in a time of worship, Val has a word that she needs to share. So if we just keep our attention on God and just hear what it is that Val is saying.
Heart up here, I can tell you. There was a street man that went to a house and he knocked on the door and he said, "Lady, please, have you got a bowl of soup and a piece of bread for a hungry man?" And she said, "Yes, I do. But do you see that pile of wood over there?" He said, "No, I don't see any wood." She said, "But I just saw you see the wood." And he said, "You might have saw me see the wood, but you're not going to see me saw it." And what the Lord was saying to me when I remembered that from way back was, it's no use hearing the word from the preacher. It's no use seeing it in your Bible. It's no use seeing it on your cell phone. You got to work it. That word, when it's worked, it works. So sow your word. Speak it out. Proclaim it. Work it. God wants you to work it. And it will come back with what it's been sent for. Thank you for listening. Thanks.
So for those I haven't said good morning to yet, good morning. It's good to be here. Right? It's great to meet with you today. Okay, there's at least three people who are happy to be here. I'm really impressed you sort of withstood the cold weather and got here this morning. No, okay. This is going to be like a tough sell, isn't it? The one thing that I do know, however, is God is so good to us. And I just want to share with you once again, if you weren't at this morning's prayer meeting before the service started, you missed out. You really did. Because God was there and He was working and you would have heard my sermon preached by other people. So those of us who were there, sorry, you're going to hear it twice. Right. Before we start, let's pray. Father, I pray that your word would speak through me this morning, that you would, Holy Spirit, so anoint me that the words that come from me would be your words, that everybody would see you at work as you touch our hearts and our minds with your truth, and you change our lives forever. Lord, light that fire again within us as we see the possibilities that you place before us, so that we can be your ambassadors, your representative here on earth. And so come, Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you remember those days when you arrived at school and you walked into the classroom and the teacher said those lovely words that you absolutely hated? We have a test today. And you know you weren't prepared for it. Well, the good news is today's going to be a test. It's going to be a test for each and every single one of us, myself included. Because what we're doing is we're carrying on with our facing life with faith. I'll get it out this morning. And facing the future with faith. And as we've gone through it, what we've learnt so far is that we've learnt what faith is. We've learnt that it's a lifestyle that is expecting the best. Sorry, let me go back. Right. It's a lifestyle that includes spiritual exercises to help us so we are able to face our fears. And we do that by taking risks God's way. And that included us going out and getting the facts and counting the cost and planning and preparing and sharing what our goals were and finally launching out whilst looking up. Then last week, Andrew came and he spoke on our faith in action. And so we saw how faith works in our personal life, in our finances, in our families, and in our friends. And if you missed all of any of those sermons, they're all available on YouTube at the Centurion Vineyard channel. Today, however, we're going to be looking at the subject, how do we please God? And how do we please God according to Scripture? I'm sure we've got many thoughts on how we could please God. And some of those thoughts may include something like this. Well, you know, I've got to be a regular attender at church services. Or I've got to give up my time and energy to serve others. I've got to dress correctly. I've got to behave as God wants me to. Which includes giving to the poor, looking after widows and orphans. Just to think of a few things. Maybe we think that we have to read the Bible every day. We have to pray every day. Just so God can see how good we are and He'll be pleased with us. None of these things are wrong. They should all be done. But does this really please God? Hey, it's got very quiet here. Well, what about if we do fewer bad things and more good things for God and for other people? And so our good deeds outshine our bad things that we do. And so do we please God? Truthfully, anything we do as a duty becomes a religious ritual in our life. And it's completed without our heart's involvement. There's no passion in it. There's no desire to get it done. We're doing it because we have to. And so we begin to see that giving up our time and our money and our energy is such a huge sacrifice to God. And surely that should please Him. And yet He says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. And you know, the wow part of this verse is the next sentence. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Creator God, the God of all the universe, He who holds our very life in His hands, says, I want you to know me. That's a wow verse for me. Because everything that we try to do, the Bible says there's only one way we can please God. And that is, it's impossible to please Him without faith. And the rest of that verse says, anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, and He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Man, I'd love to spend time on that last sentence. Those last four words, who sincerely seek Him. But that's another sermon for another day. Today we're going to be focusing on how to please God. And so to please God, we need to be exercising faith, meaning that we put our faith into action. So we love people, we take risks, we overcome fear. But do we really know how to recognize authentic, genuine faith? Or do we only think we do? Because if we cannot recognize real faith, how do we know if we really have it? You see, we may think we have genuine, authentic faith, but the Bible cautions us and says, examine ourselves to see if our faith is genuine. And it goes on to say we should also test ourselves, which is why this morning is a test. So we should be testing ourselves, examining ourselves to see if our faith is genuine. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says all of this. But the good news is we get to take the test together. So if you have your Bibles with you, whether it be in book form, electronic form, whatever, turn to James chapter 2. Yeah, we're going to find out if we have real faith. You know, as that youth video said earlier, real G faith. Right? Authentic, genuine faith. Not false. Not counterfeit faith. And James starts off this chapter by showing us four common misunderstandings about real faith. And the very first one is, faith is not something that we say. So here's the thing. If we identify as a Christian, yeah, and say we have faith, this is an ouch moment. Then our lifestyle and behavior must prove it. Faith is more than just saying we have it. James 2 verse 14 says, brothers, what's the use of saying you have faith and are Christians if you aren't proving it by helping others? Oops. Will that kind of faith say everyone? It's the first question in the test, and I have suddenly realized I didn't study the right subject. How many celebrities haven't we seen who stand up and say, I'm a Christian, but their lifestyle doesn't show it? What they do doesn't reflect God's character. What they do doesn't reflect God's character. You know, Jesus said that saying he is Lord is not enough. In Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Ouch. Only he who does the will of my Father who is heaven. Because there's more to being a Christian with real, authentic, true faith than just saying, I'm a Christian. Secondly, real faith is not something we feel. When we meet and worship together on Sunday mornings, and wasn't worship good this morning? Yeah. And during worship, we may feel God's presence, be very aware of His love for us, and God may start worshiping to... Let me rephrase that. God may start ministering to people around us. And when He does, it gets messy. And people get emotional. And their feelings start coming out in their actions. And we may see laughter, or we may see crying, we may see shouting. That's not faith. That's emotions. When God ministers to us as individuals, we may become emotional. We may start laughing or crying. We may feel God's intimate presence, but just experiencing His presence doesn't mean we have real faith. Our emotions are not to be confused with our faith. Now, the opposite end of this emotional scale, the feelings scale that I'm talking about, is what are our feelings when we come across someone who's suffering? It may be that they've lost their job, they've had, or they've got no money for food. It may be they're just exhausted from trying to look after the children and working long, long hours. And I must tell you, Shirley and I took a drive at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon last week. And I was exhausted after an hour of driving in that traffic. How many people are feeling like that? What do we do? Well, James says in verses 15 to 16, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of us say to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Of course, we pray for them. We pray, Lord, meet their needs. Lord, provide for them. But perhaps whilst we're praying for them, we need to realize that God has put us in the right place at the right time to be the help they need. And not leaving it for somebody else. That was another ouch, wasn't it? So, here's another test, or another part of the test, and it's a multiple choice question this morning. Because people generally respond in one of these ways when faced with a person who is suffering. Please don't put your hand up when you identify yourself as one of them. Right? This includes Christians. The general responses are like this. One, you get hard-hearted people who will just ignore the person. It's not my problem. Remember Jesus telling us the parable of the Good Samaritan and how the Pharisee just ignored the person who was beaten up? Then, of course, you get sympathetic people who would say, I'm sorry you're suffering, but they wouldn't do anything. What about empathetic people who would say, I'm joining you. I'm feeling what you're feeling. I'm joining you in your suffering. And they'll cry with you and they'll laugh with you. But they won't do anything. And then there are compassionate people. Compassionate people who say, I'll do anything I can to bring your suffering to an end. Because compassion is love in action. Compassion does something. Compassion for others shows authentic, genuine, real G faith. Okay, so how's the test going? Yeah, there's no marking that's going to take place. We have a time limit, so let's keep going. Jesus responded to suffering with compassion. Matthew 20 tells us, two blind men were sitting on the street corner and they were calling out to Jesus as he walked past. Right? And Matthew 20, verse 34 says, Jesus had compassion on them. He touched their eyes and immediately they received their sight and followed him. We've got to get this. Here's these two guys, they're suffering, they're blind, they cannot see, they're sitting on the street corner, they can't work, and if they can't work, they don't eat, excepting for what people give them. And they hear the commotion, and they hear Jesus is coming, and they shout out, "Jesus, we need you!" And Jesus stopped what he was doing. Now, I'm sure he was talking to those around him, teaching them, ministering to them. He stopped because busyness was not in control. People were. And out of compassion, he takes action and he does something. He heals them. He meets their need. Because faith does something. It takes action. It's not just feeling sorry for somebody. You know, I read many comics as a youngster because that was a good way for me to get to read. I liked the pictures. Right? And I can see all the thought bubbles coming up. Yes, but that was Jesus, and it's very different today. Of course it's different. Now it's not only Jesus, it's all of us. Right? You and me, we are called to make a difference because the same Holy Spirit who was in Jesus fills us. He empowers us and he enables us to put our faith into a practical response to other people. A practical response where we come across suffering. Yeah, but the need is so overwhelming, David. How on earth can I make a difference? Remember the story of the little boy and the starfish? He was walking on the beach and sometime during the night a lot of starfish had been washed up onto the beach and they were dying. And this little boy was walking down, he'd pick one starfish up and throw it back into the sea. And there was an older man standing there and he was looking at all the starfish and looking at the little boy and says, "You're not making a difference." And the little boy bent down, picked up a starfish, threw it in the sea, turned around to the older man and said, "To that one I did." Our faith needs to be put into action in a practical response to those who are suffering. Because the Bible says we are to be kind and compassionate towards people. In Ephesians 4:32 it says, be kind and compassionate. So random acts of kindness to those who are suffering is biblical. And so when we are kind and when we are compassionate, our authentic faith will grow an authentic church that is known for its authentic, genuine love for each other, demonstrated by authentic, genuine, real G Christians who become a light in this dark, dark world. So faith is not something that we say, nor is it something that we feel, and faith is not something that we think. Because some people love to approach faith as a search for an intellectual answer. It's an exercise. They want to study, to gain knowledge from all the commentaries. Now all that is good, but it can't stop there. They want to find other teachings on the subject. And then they want to argue and debate and discuss. And all that is good. But it can't stop there. But what they really love to do is go and find those strange, argumentative viewpoints on the internet and then ask everybody what their opinion is of this new truth. And unfortunately, they never decide nor commit to any one view, and they never do anything because they believe it's enough to think about possible meanings. They never take action. Shirley and I were in a small group years ago that was just like this. And we used to have great times arguing and debating, but we never did anything. You know, I realized afterwards that's mental stimulation. That's not faith. James says in verse 18 of chapter 2, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You see, faith is not something we just debate about. Faith is visible to others. James says, show me your faith. It has to be visible. Because real faith can be seen by everyone. Okay, let's put it this way. Faith is like calories. It's odorless. It's colorless, it's weightless, we don't see it, but I tell you what, after winter we feel the results. You know, when we have Christ in our life, the proof of his presence is shown by the way our life changes. Because our values change, our behavior changes, our attitudes change, our speech changes, everything about us changes. We wear a smile. No, that didn't go down well, David. No, that didn't go down well. Nobody believes that. There's a willingness to serve others. That also didn't touch on anybody's life. There's a willingness to serve others and not ourselves. Because these changes that take place in our life lead us to show compassion to those who are suffering. You know, there's another way I think that we could read James chapter 2, verse 18. And it's like this. If I identify as a Christian, then anybody has the right to ask me to prove it by my behavior and what I do for other people. Oh dear. Oh dear. I can just see my test and there's already a big red circle there. Because how I behave is more important than what I think. The only way we can be saved is by faith in Christ. Amen? Right. God's grace is enough to guide us into salvation. What we do does not make us good so that our bad is overlooked. You get that? What we do does not make us good so that our bad is overlooked. Rather, what we do is visible proof that we have accepted Jesus as our Savior. Now, please, nobody answer this question. Is there proof in our life that Christ is our Lord and Savior? Ouch. How many wish they had stayed at home this morning? Because real faith is not just something we say or feel or think. Real faith is also not just something we believe. What do you mean? Because there's a difference between saying we believe and believing. We say we believe in many things. For example, I believe that this chair will hold me. But until I sit on it, it's just an idea. So many people have such strong beliefs about Jesus, about God. They have strong beliefs about the Bible. They believe they know all about who He is. They know everything that the Bible says. They've attended church regularly their entire life. They've done all the necessary religious things that they need to do to be a good church member. But their faith is still a theory. It's still an idea that they're holding on to. And James in verse 19 of chapter 2 says, "Are there still some among you who hold that only believing is enough? Believing in one God." Well, remember, the demons believe this also so strongly that they tremble in terror. Because according to the dictionary, the English word, the westernized understanding of the word believe, means to have faith or confidence in the existence of something. I believe this chair exists. I can touch it. I can see it. I can feel it. But the Greek word used in the scripture emphasizes that to believe means to cling to fully rely on, to be completely sold out to someone. And so our Western way of thinking restricts us to the understanding that we are confident that this chair exists. The Bible, however, teaches us believing means to show our belief by sitting on the chair. Oh, man, this is good. I think I'm just going to stay here. And then to show that we're fully reliant on this, we lift our feet. And guess what? I'm not on the floor. That's the difference between saying we believe and actually believing. The difference between the Western and the biblical understanding of believing in is the distance between our head and our heart. It's theory versus practical. It's what we think about doing compared to actually doing it and actually having a relationship with Jesus. Instead of just, well, maybe we should have a relationship with Jesus. And so real faith is not just something that we say or feel or think or even believe. It's far more than that. In fact, real faith is something that we do. It's active. Faith is not passive. Faith is a commitment. It's something we demonstrate by what we do and how we treat other people. Verse 20 of James chapter 2 says, "Fool, when will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing what God wants you to?" Faith that does not result in good deeds is not real faith. Because good deeds are not done by walking into church. They are done when we walk out of church and help others. the challenge of this verse is we know we have real faith, authentic, genuine faith. When our faith results in us practically helping out to ease the suffering of other people. That's real faith. That's real G faith. That's authentic, genuine faith. And yeah, we know people will mess up. They'll make mistakes with their life. Did you ever think that our real faith can help them recover and be restored? And isn't that love? See, real faith causes us to love other people enough to risk praying for them. It causes us to love other people enough to meet their needs. It causes us to make a loving and compassionate difference in their situation. Even if they do it again and again and again. You know, Mother Teresa said, people will hurt you. Love them anyway. Because when we do that, when we love people enough to risk, right, then real faith also demonstrates God's character. It ensures that His love and His kindness and His patience and His compassion for the weary, the lost, the suffering is visibly demonstrated to them. Real faith shows those without hope that there is a solution to life's problems. And sometimes it might be as small as sitting down and listening to their story over a cup of coffee. You see, we do things like this because true, real, authentic faith changes what we value in our life. The well-being of other people becomes more important than selfishly meeting our own wants and greeds. And so we prioritize our time differently. We change our habits. So we can join the rest of our church family here in the mornings in worship. And we make sure we get here early enough so we can be a help to others. So we can learn something and take what we learn and go outside of these walls and make a difference. And so we put our faith into action. Each day asking God for and purposefully finding opportunities to serve other people. Inside and outside of church meetings, says 1 Peter 4 verse 10. You know, we can ask God to help us meet the needs of at least one person every day. And I know someone who collects glass jars. And in those glass jars, she puts dried stuff, lentils, beans, soup greens, barley, things like that, right? And on top of it, she puts a whole bunch of soup powder and seals it, carries it in her car. Because every day she comes across one person who's in need. And that gives them food for at least a day, maybe two. Simple stuff, isn't it? More concerned to meet the needs of the suffering than herself. So we ask God to help us meet the needs of at least one person every day. And because we're concerned about their eternal destiny, we share with them the truth of Jesus' love for them. And in the same way that we want to see our family and our friends, even our colleagues, come to know Jesus as their Savior, becoming our brothers and sisters in God's kingdom. So we find ways to be a visible demonstration of God's love and not His judgment to others. And as we begin to do this, it shows that our life has begun to have a new meaning. It's begun to have a new purpose. It's begun to have a new significance. Because we've discovered who we really are in Christ and how much we have to be thankful for. We'll know it. It'll show in our life. And we'll want others to experience it also. And the good news is we don't do it on our own. We're not trying to do this in our own strength. Because God's love fills us. His strength gives us perseverance. The Holy Spirit enables us and empowers us. And God's grace makes plenty of room for mistakes. And so we exercise our faith practically, in the sure knowledge that God stands and He's cheering us on and helping us to do it. And so the key to pleasing God is real faith. Not just talking about it, not some good feelings that we may have. It's not theory. It's not simply saying we believe. Real G, authentic faith, genuine faith is what we do. It's in our compassionate response to suffering. It's loving people enough that we want them also to be in God's kingdom, doing kingdom stuff with us. Real faith risks in love and overcomes our fears. And so as we conclude our series of facing the future with faith, the real challenge that is facing us every day is our faith genuine and visible to everyone we meet? Let's put it this way, and this is the last point. If Christianity were outlawed today and we were arrested and appeared before a judge and jury, would they find sufficient evidence in our life to convict us as a Christian? If not, today is the opportunity to change. Let's pray together. Lord, you've really challenged us this morning. You've made us look at ourselves and our life and consider how we behave and what we do and say and what we believe and compare it to the truth of your word. Would you help us to make the right choices now? Because I know, Father, some of us here say the right things and think the right things. Maybe we even feel the right things. Perhaps we believe the right things. But we've never really understood that we have to do the right things also. We've never really understood that a commitment calls for a sold-out relationship with you first. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here today who has not sold out their life to you, would today be the day that they have this chance to follow you? Would today be the day that they choose, above all else, to follow you, instead of just saying they believe? Because, Lord, your word calls us to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And so help us to take action. Help us to show compassion. Help us to practically help those who are suffering. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, if there's something that you want to bring before God and ask Him to intervene, why don't you make your way straight away to the front here so that the folk can pray with you. Our prayer team will be here in a few seconds and they will pray with you. In the meantime, let's stand as we sing our